Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Intermittent fasting has been a topic that you guys ask me a lot about, so I've wanted to touch on it and discuss it for a very long time, but I couldn't seem to find the right person to do it. So as you guys know, I'm very careful about who I bring on this podcast. It's really going to bring some non-biased information. So I'm excited to introduce our next guest. But guys, I know that intermittent fasting can be confusing and there's so many diets out there, so many different methods. So we're going to just touch on a little bit of what IF is and how it can affect you and how you should really use it to your benefit. But before, guys, I did want to just talk to you about some exciting news. I've now released a newsletter. So connecting with you is so important to me. And I have started this newsletter to really give you a weekly update on what's going on. If you need those extra words of encouragement on self-love, body love, and taking a balanced approach to health and fitness, you are going to definitely want to subscribe. Guys, I'm going to make sure to link in this podcast notes where you can subscribe to our newsletter. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mikkel. Mikkel is a registered dietitian and self-coined inner health designer who has created a trailblazing mind-body health company that supports the well-being of people around the world. Through her award-winning website, Nutrition Stripped, and her award-nominated social media that reaches millions, she has helped thousands take care of their health. It's her mission to guide people like you to design an intuitive way of eating, living, and connecting with your inner health. So welcome to the podcast, Mikkel.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat about all things health, wellness, intermittent fasting, all of that good stuff. Yes. So thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you. So let's just start a little high level before we do really dive into intermittent fasting. Talk to us a little bit about your philosophy and kind of that intuitive way of eating.
My philosophy really is rooted in making health a daily practice, simply put. My mission really is just to help people give themselves their own mind-body connection, whatever that means for them, whether it's self-awareness, building their intuition, strengthening their, again, that ability to self-reflect, which I think is such an important piece of the puzzle when we're talking about health, wellness, doing the things that are uniquely right for our body and lifestyle. And so really my mission is to, of course, touch on the science of nutrition, the science of health, but really make sure that we're talking about this art of healthy living is what I call it. So all of those things that really are in addition to nutrition and nourishing our physical body. It's like paying attention to stress and joy, support, community, sleep, all of these aspects of our health that really, really make tremendous shifts in our general well-being for life. So that's really my whole mission, is to really make it simple, allow people to give themselves that space to take it one step at a time versus following, you know, all these trends, all these diets, all these, you know, programs and plans. It's too much. So health is really a daily practice. And that's what I preach over here.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that you would also agree that health is, looks different for everybody, right? And like what that means is a little bit different for everybody. So like, let's get rid of those cookie cutter methods and really just be in tune with what our body needs.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I kind of had that philosophy in early days in graduate school when we were learning about said diet, you know, and it was one of those funny aha moments where I was like, well, you know, even though, you know, Jill, Joe, and Jane have the same quote disease state or health condition, they definitely do not have the same background, psychological triggers, emotional, mental well-being, way that they learn, way that they change behaviors, their stress. So absolutely, we are all so unique, and all of these like one size fits all, you know, diets or workouts just don't work for us. And I think just even seeing that trend, if you will, of thought really take hold of mainstream health, wellness, and nutrition is really exciting, because it's kind of about time, right? I mean, I'm sure you encounter it all the time, but I definitely am ready for people to really unblock that whole theory that one size fits all.
Yeah. So with that being said, I know I do want to dive into intermittent fasting, but I want to also like say that what we're going to talk about doesn't mean that like you have to go on this method, right? Like to in order to achieve that success. And I just really can't wait for you to talk a little bit about how intermittent fasting like can work for some, but maybe not for others, and how we can really identify that ourselves to know like if it's right for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's just get started here. What is intermittent fasting? Explain for our listeners like what that means.
Yeah, in the simplest term, it's an eating pattern that involves cycling between fasting and eating. Really, really simply put. It really just depends on, there are so many different quote protocols out there in terms of what the eating window is, what the fasting window is, or what those blocks of time look like. But really, if you boil it down in simplistic terms, it's the cycling between eating and not eating.
Yeah. And so talking about those protocols, like, is it mostly just the window that we have to like worry about, or that's different, or is also like what you're eating change from protocol to protocol?
I think in general, if you look at on a two-dimensional level, IF different protocols, it really is the fluidity between the different eating patterns. Now, of course, there are other like diets and plans, like maybe it's a paleo lifestyle or maybe it's a ketogenic lifestyle that might incorporate IF, but IF at its core is really the principle of this different type of, like I said, eating cycle or fasting cycle. So the foods that you eat are then another layer upon which you add on to practice IF, if that's going to fit with your lifestyle or not.
Yeah. What would you say are some of the benefits of IF?
I think in general, the biggest thing that I enjoy about IF with some of our clients is really just the digestive reset, if you will.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, fasting, all of us fast. Mm-hmm. All of us fast already. So whether you, at night when you're sleeping, for most of us, depending on your work schedule, but mm-hmm. at night, if we're getting, 6 to 8 hours of sleep, that's already a fast. So really everybody is already doing some level of fasting. And so the benefits from a digestive standpoint, just allow your body to, again, not take in any food, not digest food, literally. So you're allowing your body to just finish the digestive process, which could also be really nice for people who have any, again, this is a little bit of a blanket statement. You have to work with your healthcare provider, but it can be really helpful for people who suffer from gas, bloating, IBS, or IBS that's triggered by stress or certain types of foods to just calm your digestive system. Also can, again, I want to kind of say this out loud, but it is a little bit of a generic statement when there are benefits of IF, because everybody's so, so different, again, like we talked about, but it can promote blood sugar control. So there have been a few studies, especially in men during Ramadan, which is, again, fasting has been around since ancient times, from religious ceremonies, spiritual ceremonies. It's not a new thing. We're kind of just making it a little bit more exciting now.
Yeah.
But there have been studies that show that it can help regulate and promote good blood sugar control. So that's an interesting benefit of it. It can support weight maintenance, because if you really do think about it on a two-dimensional level, you are lessening the time that you are eating. And so that can, by default, really create either a deficit of caloric intake for the day, so reducing the calories that you're eating during the day. It can increase fat loss. There's been some studies that show that it also can improve cholesterol and triglyceride levels. So that's kind of interesting as well with IF. Again, not everybody will have those results, but it can happen. There's also some studies about brain health, or just mental focus, memory, kind of like that sharpness, if you will. So that's kind of interesting on IF as well. I think that's a huge one now that I'm hearing about, with all of this like biohacking and, hacking for performance. IF and is really big on the whole food and mental health or brain health. It can also decrease chronic inflammation. So I think that's a huge one. A lot of us encounter inflammation in so many ways, whether you have a health condition, truly just by living in our society, whether it's like we're bombarded with stress or environmental toxins. So that's a really interesting aspect with IF, is helping calm chronic inflammation and even some autoimmune conditions like arthritis, or like I mentioned earlier with IBD or inflammatory bowel disease, that can help that as well. You know, in addition to the digestive reset, sometimes it can be a benefit if people are really consumed with food thoughts in terms of just the mental, emotional energy around obsessing about food or thinking about what time to eat. There's a really, really fine line between where that can be a benefit to just like incorporate some type of IF so that you're not so focused on food and you can have some time stamped meals where you're like, okay, this is when I'm going to eat breakfast and lunch and dinner. And you have that almost planned out. But I say that because there is a really, really fine line of when that might not be good for somebody. And again, if you ever, or if anybody is, you know, curious about IF, but you have a past history of eating disorders or any disordered eating habits, obviously IF is not going to be for that crew right now, because it can be very, very triggering mentally, emotionally, really thinking so much about the timing of your meals. So I would say that in terms of not a benefit or who might not be great for IF.
Yeah, that makes sense. And let's talk a little bit about like the guidelines too. Like, and what I mean by that is like, just because you may be doing IF doesn't mean you can't binge eat during your window, right? Like there's got to be some sort of guideline still within your window of your eating that you're also following, right? Because at the end of the day, like if you're still over, right, in like your calories that you should be consuming, you could still not see like that weight loss or some of those benefits of IF. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a great question and great point. I think if that mentality starts to creep in to somebody's mind when they are practicing IF and they're like, they have that, whether it's a hormonal response or it's an emotional mental craving to quote, like binge or to really overconsume or say like, wow, I haven't eaten in so many hours. I'm really going to go at it and eat this huge meal and nonstop feeding, so to speak, in that feeding window. That also is not a great mentality to, and that would be when I would pump the brakes and say, maybe IF isn't for you right now, if that's where you're mentally going, because really you can get a lot of the benefit from IF, like all those little, those benefits that I listed off, you can get those benefits just by adapting some small principles of IF. So whether it's like extending your window before you eat breakfast in the morning, or like closing the kitchen earlier at night. Like there could be really tiny, small layers that you can practice so that you're not feeling, again, that surge or that craving to completely quote binge or eat large amounts of calories or foods all at once. And also for many people who do that from a digestive standpoint, a lot of people can't really properly digest or absorb all that nutrition at once. And it's a lot, not just with, you know, calories, because I really don't calorie count or even really macronutrient count at Nutrition Strip, but just the sheer load of food can also really be detrimental and also just physically uncomfortable for some people too. So I think it really is just going back to your question too. It's just being mindful of implementing IF if you do choose to do that, and really have a, the word normal is such a blanket statement, but having a healthy relationship with food while entering in IF protocol and adopting kind of similar eating habits that you would outside of, you know, implementing IF, if that makes sense. So having normal meals and just really, really making sure that you're checking in with yourself, with the relationship with food, because that would be the last thing that you would want for yourself, is to try something like IF and then really start to cultivate and develop some unhealthy eating behaviors around applying this protocol.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Like, have those healthy relationships first before you enter into this. And that means like also the quality of your food. Like, make sure that you understand what the quality of foods that you should be having into your body. And it doesn't really matter, just because you're on this IF like window, that doesn't mean it's an excuse to eat donuts all day, right? Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so like, it's almost like being on a gluten-free diet, but like still having gluten-free cookies, you know, like you still have to have that healthy relationship and approach towards food.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you wanted to start intermittent fasting, like how do you know which protocol to start with? I mean, is there a recommendation of like how you ease into this, or is there a recommendation like for females versus males, or how would you know what's right for you to get started?
Great question. So taking into consideration everything that we just touched on briefly, just I think the mindset around it is probably number one. It's so important just to make sure that you're entering in, and this isn't just with IF, this is with any, you know, quote diet or trend or workout even that you're thinking about engaging in. Just check in with your mindset about it and your intention, your purpose around it, your why. And that's really step one. Step two, if you can, like chat with a dietitian or a healthcare professional who really specializes in this one-on-one to really frame it up for you, plan it out. So it takes a lot of the guesswork out. That would be a great, luxury if you can do that. But I would say really just the first thing that you could experiment with is to check in with your natural hunger levels. So right now, like I was mentioning earlier, most of us are already fasting, right? For like 6 to 8 hours, maybe 10 hours a night during our sleep cycle. And then we naturally wake up and then we start to eat breakfast, right? So a lot of us are already doing some sort of IF and we're not labeling it IF. You know, I think all the pressure comes when you start to call it intermittent fasting. But what you can do is just check in with your hunger levels during the span of your day, during the span of your week. I bet that there might be some times of day or even some days, like the weekends, for example, where your hunger levels change and where it's really easy for you to not, eat as soon as you wake up. So I know for me, like I really love to sleep in on the weekends. And I of course, am eating breakfast at a later time than I do Monday through Friday. So already right there's a little bit of a natural extension of not only my hunger levels changing, but also just my wake-sleep cycle, which impacts my food cycle or when I'm consuming food. So a really easy step can just be building that awareness of where it might naturally already be like happening in your life and you really haven't just called it out or identified it as that. And next step could just be, again, like I was sharing a little bit earlier, was closing the kitchen, so to speak, maybe a little bit earlier than you do now. So having your last meal or having your last snack, I don't know, maybe 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed. And then after you wake up in the morning, maybe extending that just an hour or two before you consume breakfast. So my biggest recommendation is to take it super small, only increase maybe that window on either the bedtime or the wake time by like an hour or two, just to experiment with it. Because, some people are going to be more sensitive with their blood sugars. You might get, in terms of like who this might not work for, is somebody who has really sensitive blood sugar levels, or they get, quote, hangry, they have low blood sugar fluctuations. So for those people, you just have to be really mindful and check in with yourself of, again, where your hunger is, where your cravings are, your blood sugar levels, and don't push yourself too far to just, complete a, quote, protocol on paper, if that makes sense. Like there's no right or wrong way to do this. It can just, like I said, be as easy as extending those two windows on either side.
And so as you were talking about that, I was kind of thinking too, because I will say one reason for me that I haven't personally tried IF is because in the last 3 years, 4 years, I've been pregnant, breastfeeding. I've got two children. So for women out there that, are maybe in that phase of their life right now where they are postpartum and they are still nursing, what are your recommendations on if this is right for them?
Yeah, great question, Morgan. I am in the camp of no go with IF or any drastic change in like your diet or movement or stress, not only when you are, of course, pregnant, but postnatal, and then also even if you're trying to get pregnant or just change your lifestyle for fertility. So I would say if you're in any of that camp with family planning or early stages of family development, I would say do not do IF. And if it is something that you're really curious about or passionate about trying, then I would absolutely chat with a dietitian one-on-one. They could help you do it in a safe way. But even then, I doubt like a lot of RDs out there would really promote that. I would say just wait for that. I mean, there can be another chapter in your life if you really want to go forth with that. But really, if you think about this whole beautiful period of time as a female, when you are doing family planning, it should be the biggest intention or purpose during that time period is really nourishment, not only nourishment for you as mom or mom to be, but also to baby. And that is pre, during, and post. Those are the biggest mantras, if you will, during that time period. So IF is really like a way that it might potentially interfere with that mantra, if you will.
Yeah, agreed. Let's talk a little bit about how often you need to fast to get the full benefits. Like, is it 7 days a week? I think I've heard a little bit of like sometimes people like on the weekend will open that window even further. I think you kind of touched on that too, like depending on your schedule, right? So do you need to fast every single day to reap the benefits? Or is it effective if you do it a couple days a week? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Top of mind in terms of like weight maintenance, fat loss, weight loss, things like that. So the studies that show that obviously have to be a little bit longer. So from like a 3 to 12 week. And that was really focusing on alternative day fasting. So where it's like you fast one day, you don't the other day, that kind of fast, which I think isn't really sustainable, but that would take a little bit more time to see results. I think in my professional opinion, even doing a fast one day, you can get some type of benefit. So whether again, it is purely just starting to reduce chronic inflammation or even inflammation from the day, or give yourself a digestive reset, maybe even increase mental clarity. So I think you can get those benefits even just in, you know, one day. So that would be my opinion on it. And again, everybody's really different. So you'll have to kind of play around with that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Any other precautions? Like I talked about nursing and kind of that pre-post and family planning, but any other precautions that women specifically should take before diving into IF? Because I know I have majority of my listeners are women, so I want to make sure we cover that.
Yeah, I would say in addition to pregnancy or that whole family planning zone, in addition to any past medical history with disordered eating habits or eating disorders of any kind, some people, again, if you have diabetes or really fluctuating blood sugar levels, again, I would always check in with a dietitian or a healthcare provider to really help you with that. Sometimes people with thyroid issues, intermittent fasting isn't really recommended for because it can make those symptoms or those conditions worse. So I would just be a little bit mindful about that. Again, if you have any fluctuations in hormones as a female, or if you're trying to balance your hormones, IF might not be as great for you, especially if it's not really consistently done. And then you're going like IF one day and then not the other. It can actually, quote, like stress your body out, if you will, and that can impact your hormones negatively. So it would really just be wise if you could just, you and your listeners too, and when you're thinking about, you know, should I go on IF, just to ask yourself those questions, like, am I trying to use this tool as a way to, quote, like heal a health condition, or are you in the stage of life where you're looking to family plan, then that's not going to be for you. IF isn't going to be for you. Or again, if you have any eating disorders or blood sugar issues, I would say this is probably not the camp for you right now. Those are my biggest things when I look at whether their client's approaching and they want IF. That's just a quick little assessment there.
Awesome. So what are some other things besides IF that we could do to see some of those results we talked about, such as the blood sugar, the healthy weight, the reducing the inflammation in your body? Just touch a little bit on some other things we should factor in and maybe not just go jump right into IF.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I know that's a loaded question.
No, I love that. Yeah. I could talk about this for hours. I think taking a big step back and like I was mentioning earlier, just any type of new approach that you want to dive into or you want to take a step into, just really mentally, emotionally get right with it and really assess your intention. I think that is such a huge, huge, huge part and of, you know, trying new eating styles or lifestyles before you actually embark on them. In general, one that I think is slightly like underrated, people don't really talk about this, and especially as a dietitian, it's definitely not the first thing that I hear other dietitians talk about, which is sleep. Like making sure we're getting enough sleep. So 7 to 9 hours if you can a night, 6 to 9 hours if you can a night, as consistently as you can. That's huge. And so
I don't want to interrupt you, but I kind of do just for a minute because I hear this literally all the time and I 100% agree. And I think what some people still don't know is how much sleep is right for me, right? So you say this range, 6 to 9, 7 to 9. How do we know if, okay, is 9 too much for me? Is 6 not enough? Like, what are some cues that we should be looking for to say, okay, here's my sweet spot of sleep. Is it like, do we feel refreshed in the morning? Or what are those cues that we should really be looking out for?
I think on a two-dimensional level, 7 to 9 is kind of that like sweet spot in terms of health benefits and consistency with all of that sleep brings us in our life, not only like biologically, but also mentally and rebuilding our bodies, all of the beautiful things that it does. So in terms of like, what is your sweet spot? I think it's just a matter of trial and error and figuring out, but also knowing that every day or every week is going to be different. Most days I can thrive on like a 7 to 8 hours and I feel pretty good and refreshed in the morning. I'm awake, I'm ready to go for my day. It's not like I'm jumping out of bed like a marathon runner, like, let's go. I think that's a rarity to really like wake up like that with a huge burst of energy, but just awake enough to be like, I'm ready to go on with my day, not hitting snooze. But if you do find yourself hitting snooze over and over again, it could be quite a few things, but it could be imbalances of blood sugar levels. It could just be the quality of sleep. Like the length of sleep might be quote good, but the quality of sleep isn't there. So that might be making you feel like you want to hit that snooze in the morning. So it is going to be a little bit of trial and error. But what I would say that you want to look for is that kind of natural wake up time where you don't have to be, you know, dragged out of bed in the morning by an alarm clock. You kind of naturally wake up. And you can also take a sleep journal, which would be really, if you can, that would be really, really great insight for you to just start to say, okay, this is the time I went to bed. This is when I woke up. How did I wake up? Was I feeling pretty refreshed, awakened for the day? Did I feel like I wanted to hit snooze and sleep for 2 extra hours? But having that journal can really start to build some insight on what's uniquely right for your body, for your lifestyle during that phase of your life. So yeah, those would be some tips there.
Awesome. That's super, super helpful. So I know I interrupted you on sleep. So let's kind of jump back to those things that we can focus on, you know, to still get some of those benefits. So sleep was a big one.
Yes.
Anything else?
Sleep, goodness, stress management as well. So really just checking in with our stress levels. You know, I like to use like a 1 through 10, 10 being really, really high stress. 1 is like you're zenned out, you're really peaceful. But just having that awareness of where your stress might lie every day, every week in the span of it. Number 1, just having that awareness. Number 2, then really implementing, you know, whatever unique stress management tools are working for you. So whether that's working out, which is not only going to support healthy weight maintenance, like quote IF does, or brain health, chronic inflammation, heart health. So really like exercise is also amazing for all of these things as well, but really checking in with your stress and having some great management tools with that. And then also in terms of blood sugar control, that is pretty easily met with, you know, whole food diet. If you really think about your meal times, making sure that you have a good amount of quote balance with your macronutrients, because they all work together really, really beautifully. Whether that is, you know, fiber from non-starchy carbohydrates, like all of your good veggies, like your dark leafy greens, your cucumbers, bell peppers, all of those, those are really like, just think about that as like fiber and micronutrients, phytonutrients, antioxidants, all of that good stuff that we need, really filling up a majority of your plate. And then look at protein. Of course, that keeps you nice and full and satiated, satisfied. So that's going to contribute to healthy blood sugars. And then of course, healthy fat. So all of those work together really beautifully to stabilize your blood sugar levels. And it also keeps you fuller longer, which is really nice that you're not mentally or emotionally craving or thinking about food. It really is going to truly like satiate your physical body. So when you're checking in with your physical hunger, like we briefly talked about earlier, then you're able to really say like, okay, I'm good. I just had a meal. It's satiating me. And then also whole food carbohydrates, you know, like whether it's whatever type of grain or bean or potato, I would even kind of put fruit into that category just to lump it in there because it is a carbohydrate. But any of those, and you know, having those consistently at a meal will really help contribute to stabilized blood sugar control. Same with exercise, the stress management, the sleep. Mm-hmm. I think hopefully everybody's starting to see that they all work together, right? Like it is an absolutely holistic view that everything is impacted by everything. It all works together. really just being mindful of how you put it all together.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so let's talk a little bit before we wrap up here today. I know you have something releasing tomorrow, your workshop, 5x5 Framework. Let's talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. I'm really excited to release a new workshop that I've been working on. I love doing free workshops. We had a free training earlier in, let's see, January 2019 about making meal planning really simple. And that was such a hit. People loved it. And I'm always like, okay, well, what else can I give them just for free, just to give a taste of my new program launching, which is called The Method. So my 5x5 framework honestly has been in action for the past almost decade of my coaching career and my work as a registered dietitian, really blending this philosophy that, you know, health is a daily practice, that nutrition really is that catalyst, that starting point for us to nourish all of these other aspects of our health. So the 5x5 framework, hence the name 5x5, it's five pillars of health. So routine, check-in, nutrition, well-being, and life. And then within each of those five pillars, there's five elements. And those are like the things that build up that pillar. And so if you think about it, it's just a way to really, really easily structure someone's life, essentially, to really create a path for eating well and living well that's completely unique to their body and lifestyle. So I'm so excited about it and obviously really passionate about it, because it's not a plan. It is not a diet. It is not like a cookie cutter thing that I'm sending them in an online program. It is literally them being coached by me for 9 weeks if they take it one hour a week, or, you know, one day, depending on how much people want to dive into the content. But it's really there to help coach them and guide them to design their life with eating and living. And I hope also, my intention is that after they do this 5x5 framework, after they apply my method, that they're not going to have to dive into any of these like all or nothing mentalities, these diets, these one size fits all approaches. It's really helping them cultivate that sense of awareness and intuition with their body. So I'm really excited about it. But yeah, the free workshop is on our website. So people just go to nutritionstrip.com and we have a programs tab. And under there, you can just see it's called the 5x5 framework, and it's a free workshop. And after you go through that workshop, you have a chance to dive in a little bit deeper into the method program, which is the actual tools and the strategies on how to actually apply everything. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that one.
Awesome. Thank you for giving that for your resource. I think that's so helpful for so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. I love doing that.
Okay. So I've got three more questions, and these are questions that I ask all of my guests. So whatever first comes to mind is what you can say. So with so many different health trends, what is your number one piece of advice for someone who is overwhelmed by figuring out what is right for them?
Oh my goodness.
I know you could probably a lot, but what would be your top tip?
Yeah, I would say my number one piece of advice for people being really overwhelmed is to just take a minute to do a couple deep breaths and inhale and exhale and really connect with yourself, and then ask yourself that question again and really, really, really be honest. I think a lot of times it's kind of hard for ourselves to be brutally honest with what we actually need and what we deserve with our health and our wellness, and really just pose that question to yourself, because I have a hunch after you really dive deep and you understand your why behind it, you might pivot and not go with that, you know, health trend. Yeah. So I think it's really about being intuitive and tapping into what you actually need.
Mm-hmm. All right. If someone were to add or eliminate one habit today, what should it be?
The habit of saying, and not because you actually use the word should in the sentence, but the habit of saying I should do this or I shouldn't do that when it comes to food choices. I think that's the biggest thing when I see new clients, is they have this whole food rule book, if you will, like, oh, I should eat these foods or I shouldn't eat these, or calling things like good and bad or clean and dirty. Mm-hmm. And so I think the story that we're telling ourselves about food and deducing it to these two, again, like the good and the bad, I think that's a habit that I would like to see people break.
Yeah, I like that. And then last question, how do you keep yourself moving with a healthy lifestyle on those days that like you're not feeling it, you're unmotivated? What do you do to kind of get out of that funk?
If I am in a funk, it's most likely not out of like willpower, determination, motivation. For me, it's more like I feel disconnected with myself, or I might be feeling that my energy is put too far into just one pillar of my life. Like maybe it's work or family or relationships, and there's an imbalance. And so I think for me, if I feel that disconnect or that funk, then I literally will just do a quick 5 minute, 10 minute meditation, calm myself and journal. So that's the biggest thing for me, is taking a literal pause when I have a funk, journaling it out, really trying to see what's going on, and then taking that information and pivoting and making at least one practice that day that's going to help me kind of realign with myself. So that's just in my perspective normally when I feel like that.
Awesome. That's good stuff. All right. Well, anything else you want to say before we sign off today? And also, please share with us where our listeners can hear more from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our website, nutritionstripped.com is the place to be, with hundreds of free health and nutrition articles, recipes. Again, we have 2 free workshops. So definitely just dive in there. But really, I love Instagram. I spend some time on there every day. But the place to be for our community is really to become an NS insider. And that's on our newsletter. That's really where I pop in weekly, share a little bit of behind the scenes, what I'm up to, new offerings and such. So that's really the place to be to hang out.
Awesome. And we'll make sure to link all this stuff, guys, in the show notes, so you can go right there. Again, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I really appreciate your time and excited for our listeners to hear more about IF and just really the resources that you have to offer.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Morgan. And I am really, really excited for you and your journey. And anybody who's really interested in learning more, just hop over to Nutrition Stripped.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening today. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells and follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast, or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.